Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
I want to ask you a question this morning, and as I do that, would you be turning to Colossians chapter 1? Colossians chapter 1, as we begin this new season of preaching from the great letter of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians. Now, the question I want to ask is this, before I get into this text. If you had the resources that far outmatched, it would have to outmatch, or far outdo Warren Buffett or Bill Gates. I mean, if you had the resources, assuming you did, that you could give a gift to every person in the world that would be a suitable gift, what gift would it be? I want you to think about that. If you had the resources and could give a gift to every person in the world, what would that one gift be? Now let's look together at Colossians chapter 1. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Okay, go back up to verses 3 and 4 and 5, and you'll see this holy triumvirate, this thrilling threesome that Paul often alludes to in his writings, the most famous being 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. But here they appear again, faith, hope, and love. I call them the thrilling threesome, because these are the most important qualities of life. Money can't buy them. Literature and movies have been filled with the theme of people who had everything, but they were in pursuit of those three things. And oh, if they could just grasp them, their lives would be complete, but those three things in literature elude them, because their emphasis, of course, is so misplaced, usually in literature. But here Paul mentions them as being within the grasp of every person who knows Christ: faith, hope, and love. The gospel, is what Paul says, produces all three in a person's life. When the gospel is heard, and grace is understood in all of its truth, he wrote, these three things will take place in a person's life without exception. Without exception, when those things, when the gospel is planted in the human heart properly and it sinks down, then those things will come about. It's not unusual. It's not the exception to the rule. It is the rule. And it's true worldwide. Notice Paul alludes to all over the world this gospel has been taught and heard and it's being received. So it's true one all over the world. So now going back to my question a while ago, if you had the resources, what one gift would be suitable for every person in the world? Would it be a book? Maybe you'd want to put a book, a certain book, into everyone's hand that they could read that would just sort of open up the world to them. And there are a lot of good books, a lot of good literature out there. Would it be a book? Well, it wouldn't be, because not everybody can read, can they? There are a lot of people in the world who've never seen a book, let alone read a book. Well, would it be foods? Would it be foods? Well, of course, some people are very hungry. But there are other people, like those of us in the United States of America, who throw away more food than we'd ever eat. We're not hungry. Food wouldn't interest us. And so that wouldn't be suitable for every person in the world. What about currency? What about money? Would that be something that would be suitable for every person in the world? Well, no. Not all cultures use currency. Now, they wouldn't know what to do with that $5 bill or $20 bill or whatever you could afford to give them. It wouldn't mean anything to them. What about clothing? Well, climates are so different. And styles and taste of clothing are so different. You couldn't buy clothing and expect it to be received worldwide for every person in the world. No, only the gospel is universally suitable. Only the gospel. And as Paul wrote here in this passage in Galatians, it bears fruit worldwide and it's growing worldwide. And look at this. And this has meaning for you as well as the people to whom Paul originally wrote this letter, the book of Colossians. It all starts on day one. That's what he said. He said, all over the world this gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it. See, that's the neat thing about the gospel. It begins its work in one day. Just think about that. A new life begins in one day. It's not like I'm going to say to you, now listen, if you'll become a Christian, in 1 year you'll start seeing a difference in your life. No. On day one, after a person makes a decision about Jesus Christ, a new life begins from that very day that will change everything. And look at this. It begins with just one person. In this case, Paul says it was Epaphras. One person who was willing to be used of God. One person who was available. It all started with one person. And that's the way it is with the gospel. Entire generations can be affected by just one person, maybe saying one thing to another person, or making arrangements for one person to get to church when they ordinarily wouldn't come to church. One person arranging for a home Bible study, maybe in their home. They can't teach it, but they can supply the home. One person. You see, that's the way of God. It all begins with one person willing to share the treasure. Dear folks, in our possession, we have the greatest treasure that has ever been known to man. The only treasure that is universally suitable and applicable and will bear fruit and grow everywhere. Everywhere. It's still doing it, just as it was done in the first century. It's still doing it now. Well, this is a special month for us at 10th and Broad. Mission Emphasis Month. And it's not like that we have it and then when it's over we forget about it. Well, it's over with. We don't have to talk about missions anymore. I'm sure glad. No, that's not the reason. We just think it's important to take a whole month and think about it and focus on it. And let the good of that just keep resounding all throughout the year. Steve Kaiser is on the missions committee here at 10th and Broad. And I'm simply going to turn it over now to Steve because he has some things to tell you about Mission Emphasis Month. And especially about our mission work here at 10th and Broad, how it's funded, and what your part in it is as we think about some of the greatest efforts we've ever made in giving this gift worldwide that is so suitable. Brother Steve?
Larry, thank you for your comments regarding the great value of the gospel to a lost and dying world. It is my pleasure to serve as the chairman of the 10th and Broad Mission Committee. And this morning I want to just relay some information to you and tell you some things that we want to impart to you this morning concerning the work of the 10th and Broad congregation in the area of foreign missions. This congregation, like many others at the close of the Second World War, saw the need to share the gospel in foreign countries. And as we learned last week in Larry's comments and in Elmer's presentation, we were involved in works in Europe and Italy and in Japan and places around the world after the close of that great conflict. But in 1985, we as a congregation decided to make October a very, very special month for this congregation. Ever since that day, we have celebrated a mission emphasis month. And since that time, we have supported at least two full-time mission families in the field, in the countries of Argentina, Panama, Ecuador, Mexico, Venezuela, Burkina Faso, and a mission work in Creed, Colorado. Currently, we are supporting the Johnson family in Burkina Faso and the Holcomb family in Cuernavaca, Mexico, and to Teresa Perez in Merida, Mexico. During the coming year, we will continue to support the Johnson and the Holcomb families, and our support for the Perez family will draw to a close at the end of May 2009. During those past 23 years, many able and dedicated members of this congregation have served as part of the missions committee and the missions program of the 10th and Broad congregation. We owe them a great debt of thanks for their involvement in taking the gospel message to the lost outside of Wichita Falls. This morning, I would like to introduce you to the current members of the Missions Committee. We serve under the guidance and the oversight of your elders at this congregation. Representing the staff on our committee is Brother Larry Suttle. Larry, would you stand, please? Representing our deacons, we have Brother Jim Marshall. Jim, would you stand where you are? We also have Brother Kerry Ritchie and his wife Ginger, if y'all would stand. David Dole and his wife Diana. I think David's here this morning. We also have serving with our committee our sisters Gloria Bond, Linda Johnson, Karen Miller, and Faye Wilson. These are your current mission committee members, and we thank you for your diligence and your support in this area. Thank you. You may be seated. Each year during the month of October, we place special emphasis on the mission program of this congregation. During the coming weeks, we will be honored by the presence of the Johnson family for 2 weeks. And on the 19th, Andy will bring a special message to us during the morning worship hour. Also, on that date, the 19th, we will share together a potluck meal in the Family Life Center at the noon hour. During the month of October, we will also be honored with a special report from the Holcomb family concerning their work in Cuernavaca, Mexico. This morning, for the benefit of our new members and their families, I want to explain how our mission program is funded. The missions program of the 10th and Broad Church is funded by your sacrificial giving above and beyond the normal operating budget for the church. For most of the 23 years since 1985, during the month of October, each family has prayed and purposed on how much they would give during the year to support the missions program of this congregation. And in each of those years, you have met the challenge or exceeded the proposed need every year. During some of those years, we as a family have come together and updated parts of our building and built needed areas to accommodate growth. During those times, the mission budget was added into the capital stewardship campaign, which we were involved in, with the provision that that mission budget would be placed at the forefront and that no mission work would be curtailed or postponed. We are currently in the last year of our current capital stewardship campaign. And again, this year, the mission budget will be funded by your continued giving to this capital stewardship campaign. If you are new to the congregation, at the end of October, you will be given the opportunity to join with the rest of the family and make a commitment to support the mission work of this church. There are three other areas that I would like to mention concerning our missions program. We support families on the field, but we are also involved in offering opportunities for others to serve as short-term missionaries. Each year, we as a congregation support a youth mission trip during the summer. These are special times for our youth and their sponsors to be involved in sharing their faith in many varied and special ways. Every other year, a planned trip is taken outside of the United States. Usually, those trips are to Mexico to help build church buildings in small and large cities in northern Mexico. On the other odd years, a trip within the United States is planned, often to help in domestic missions. At this point, I would just like to stop and say how beneficial these trips are for our young people. And I would like for you, if you have been a part of one of the youth mission trips to either Panama or Mexico, if you would stand at this time. If you have been part of one of those trips, Judy, you and Lauren are old enough to stand up. Thank you. I would like for you to just look around. I know there are many others who have participated in those early days. Some of those young people are now grown and moved away, but we have had a rich history in mission trips with our young people. Thank you. You may be seated. Each year, we also plan an adult mission trip, and adults are encouraged to participate. Often these campaigns or mission trips are to help small churches reach out in their communities and make contacts for further study. If you have been able to participate in one of the adult mission trips, would you please stand, please? Again, many of our individual members have been able to participate in these adult mission trips, and we thank you for your interest in doing that. We also encourage individuals who are interested in joining with groups like Let's Start Talking and other efforts by providing funding to help meet their expenses. We provide funds to send members of the congregation also to meet and visit with our missionaries. We believe that this is a very important part of our mission program to support and encourage our missionaries on the field and in as many other ways as possible. We, in our small groups, have each adopted one of our mission families, and we on the missions committee encourage each small group to be diligent in your support of your adopted missionary during this coming year. Finally, we want to encourage each of you personally and as a family to pray for our missionaries and for our mission program. In the following weeks, we will be presenting to you our mission budget for the 2008-2009 year that will begin the 1st of November. We will be doing that at the end of the month. Thank you on behalf of the Mission Committee and the entire congregation for your support of the mission program. We would like to close now with a special prayer where we will mention by name each of our missionaries and their works. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day, and we thank you so much for this great congregation and for its zeal in taking the gospel to the lost. Father, this morning we want to very specially mention our missionaries. We want to mention Andy and Melissa Johnson and their family in Burkina Faso. Father, we pray for them. Even though they're in the States right now, we know that that work continues and that work continues to grow and thrive. And Father, we pray for each of the team members that are left behind while they're here. Father, we so look forward to having Andy with us in the coming days and his family to get to greet and to be with them. And Father, we just pray that you will always bless them as they continue this great work. And Father, we pray for Doug and Sandy Holcomb in Cuernavaca, Mexico, as they work with the people in that area of Mexico, Father, and we pray for their efforts. We pray for their health. We pray for all of the things that they are involved in. We pray for the congregation that is established there. And Father, we just ask your blessings on them. For Teresa and her family, we pray for them in Merida, that you will continue to be with Teresa during this trying time in her life. Father, we thank you for the dedication that she has for you. We pray for her children. We pray for her husband. Father, we just ask your blessings on them. Father, thank you for all the many things that you do for us as a congregation. Father, be with us in this coming year as we make plans again to continue the efforts that we are involved in. We pray for our young people as they make plans for another mission trip this summer. We pray for our adults who will be asked to participate in another trip this summer. Father, be with our program, be with our congregation, be with our leadership, be with our country. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.